What's up, everyone? I'm Tori.
And I'm Anissa.
And you already know this is MTV's official challenge podcast, where we go behind the scenes of the challenge, spies, lies, and allies.
This podcast episode, I am so excited for. We are going to be joined by one of our favorite competitors, one of our best friends, Dev and Dave Max Walker.
Yes! Oh my God, seriously, this is going to be the best episode ever. He is incredible on podcasts. I wish he was our third host all the time, but we're going to get into it all with him later and generally discuss how insane the season is getting.
And how happy I am to not be on it.
Oh, shut up.
No, it's better to not be in the fight and just watch it. I'm really enjoying this, so I can't wait to talk about it.
All right, let's get into it. All right, Anissa, well, you know what it is.
No, I don't.
I'm pretty sure it's your time to time bomb.
I think I time bombed last time.
I think you did. Yeah, it's definitely
I did. It is your time. Yeah, so, Tori, guess what time it is?
Oh, surprise me. I don't know.
Oh, it's the time bomb because it's the 37th season. You have 37 seconds to recap this episode. And I think it's appropriate because this is a very emotionally Tori-heavy episode.
Yeah, should I cry through the time bomb?
I mean, I thought maybe you could just surprise us with the ugly cry. But if you want to, just get in the mood because you're going in 3 seconds. Three, two, one.
Bada boom, bada bing. Here we go back into the house and I am officially on Team Ruby. You can't mistake that because I'm wearing Ruby everywhere I go, down to my granny panties. And my tampon is also Ruby red. We don't got to talk about that though. And the period tax. Okay, let's keep going forward. As we do, we get into this next mission and you know what it is. It's trench warfare. I don't think that's what it's called, but you know it's a trench and there's going to be warfare. And everybody starts slamming their bodies. But I had a conversation with CT when we're walking outside. I'm like, CT, let's gang up because you know what I'm saying? Gang, gang. We get into the trenches and boom, bam, hit me hard as shit. Casey's a real one, but I gotta respect that. I also hit her back too, but you know what I'm saying? They're gonna amplify my losses. It's all good. Let's get into it deeper because I really tried to sabotage Emerald. They got really upset about it. Josh did send me to the devil. Amanda's smiling and super happy about it.
I wanted you to keep going. I mean, there has to be a time where we just do a 74-second time bomb.
No, Tori can get everything in. Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I did manage to slip in the period tax though. That's important.
That's an important issue in the world. I'm really upset about it. Tampons, pads, all that shit should be free. All of it should be free.
Thank you.
We didn't ask for a uterus. We didn't ask to bleed. Unfortunately, both of those things do happen. Yeah. Men would never be able to deal with it. I think they should buy all of our tampons. Thank you.
That's the end of our podcast. All right, goodbye.
And we're done. Bye. No, but the play of the day.
Not me.
I mean,
it was the play of the day is just so opposite because it was a plan that failed miserably. So it's like there wasn't a play.
It was a play of the day that backfired and worked out for somebody else.
Let's just give it to Sapphire because they won with
no one on their team.
Yeah.
I was going to give it to Emmy for being the only girl running by herself through the trenches.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we left Emmy alone. We didn't hit Emmy. When we were down in the trenches, I specifically moved out of her way so she could go. Like, there was nobody going against Emmy because we were going all Emerald and they were going initially that way. So Emmy deserves all the credit in the world, but we were too busy fighting each other that we weren't even paying attention, you know? Yeah. But Emmy is a beast. You can't take it away from the girl. She is a lethal weapon. She's not somebody I want to see in a hall brawl. Like, it would be a battle. It would be a battle.
Dirtiest deed.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Also CT.
Sure. CT, yeah.
Just planting little seeds, having little combos.
Yeah, but I think CT would have stuck out the plan. I honestly think he would have. They were originally going
but
for Emerald
me,
with us.
It's dirtiest deed is the best political. I mean, he's smart with that. So when I say dirty deed, I don't mean sneaky motherfucker. I mean like, hey, somebody is definitely smart and working the best angle they can and doing it successfully because he dodged all the bullets. He didn't have to win this. I mean, he literally said he was going to work to help you win, but instead his team won and then they're safe.
It was such an intense mission to have after what just happened. In my opinion, it was the most intense moment of the season because it's like, I just got stolen. I'm on Ruby now. The team is not, I mean, on the record, hasn't done great. It's actually done terrible. So it's like, ugh. I'm so emotional at this point. I'm so sad. I'm trying so hard to fake like I want to be on Ruby. And then I get stuck with the mission.
I mean, you put that whole outfit on. Yeah, you really tried to commit.
I tried. I really
You painted everyone's fingernail like that was going to change the trajectory of that team.
Listen, I didn't have a lot of crafts to work with. I was like, all right, what here is red?
Not
what
a can lot I do of crafts. Oh, they forgot my crafting set.
I didn't have a lot to work with. So I'm like, all right, let me just paint people's fingernails red so they feel like in touch with the team. I was trying everything at this point in time.
Well, you should have just went and bought everybody ruby necklaces or something like that.
Yeah, let me just leave then the challenge.
Then you made a Dorothy comment.
Yeah, did you?
And you were like, my ruby shoes. I'm like, yeah, but she loved the ruby shoes.
Remember? Team Ruby.
Right. But then you were like, I don't know. There was a lot going on. There was a lot going on in you saying that. But back to this. Sapphire wins. He's going in.
Kyle knows he's going in. And then the big fight happens between Devin and myself. That hurt so bad. Could you tell on my face?
That beautiful sunrise and then just you look like somebody stole your cat.
Yeah, my heart was stolen. My heart was the cat, and Devin was the thief. He
stole your heart?
Sounds like a love story. In a sad way. Listen, I just wanted I understand now, watching it all back. He has his side. I have my side. We are on two different teams. We both feel very passionately about getting to the end. Me, you, Kyle, and Devin all had a really serious conversation about going as far as possible in the game together. So... yeah, it was pretty tough to go against him like that. But, oh, man, that was a tough one. Let's just continue to go because Kyle gets compromised, goes down into the lair. He is talking to CT pretty loudly, saying 30% chance it's going to be Josh, 70% chance it's going to be Emmanuel. But I'm pretty sure, like, I think
he wanted to see what was going to be down there first. And then he was like, oh, if I'm supposed to – like, I'm not picking Logan. He's coordinated. He also –
well, it can pick Logan. One.
I know. But Emmanuel has great balance. I mean, if you're looking at the people, then you can't pick your best friend, you know? So I think he already knew who he was going to pick. I think it was always going to be Josh. But if it were something different where size was maybe an issue or height, because Emmanuel can climb. I just think it was another way of not looking like he was going to put all his eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion from a viewer's perspective.
Yeah, it was really hard to watch. Josh is great. And, like, I think that he's finally starting to get a little bit of an edit where people can understand how we feel about him as a person, so people can understand why we love him so much. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wanted Josh to go home. I didn't want Kyle to go home either. It's like you get to this point in the game now where both of your friends are up. It's so difficult to experience that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't help but to get close to certain people or all the people or because you go through all this crazy shit with them.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. I mean, you're not going to get along with everyone. But for the people that you do, I mean, it's like a really intense friendship because you go through all this intense stuff with them.
Yeah, this episode was really – I feel like a little drained to watch it all back, you know.
Yeah.
But at least we get to talk to Devin because he's coming on this episode. And he's going to come – and light this interview up. You know he always does.
Just give it a little sunshine on your face.
We're going to hash it out. We're going to talk about it. And I'm excited. Let's get Devin Walker, a.k.a. Max, a.k.a. Dave, in on this. And stay tuned, guys. All right, guys. It's time for our favorite part of the episode. And I get to introduce this person. I would like to do it with my ugly cry face because it is... it just makes more sense. So please welcome the one only Devin Walker. Devin, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Ladies, thank you for having me back.
So cool having you. Oh, instead of it being not cool, it's so cool.
Don't say uncool.
It was so uncool.
Stop saying
it now. It's really cool now.
Oh, that was that. I was watching that and thinking, I don't know if there's another person on the planet that can use lamer insults and get a bigger reaction.
I think that's why.
I've now got like a few Big Brother sucks. That was not cool. If you want to borrow my sweatsuit, you can ask. Like, those are not good insults. Those are so stupid.
So on the off season, have you been working on that? Have you been working on new, uncool lame insults.
Well, I've been working on doing uncool things, and actually I'm looking a little weathered today because I had my aqua aerobics class this morning.
Excuse me?
This is a true story. Yeah. low impact training. It's literally me and 14 85-year-old women.
I figured Devin, it was.
Devin.
Yeah. And you're like, you guys have fucked. Yeah. You guys have your what's it called? Your
shower caps,
paddle boards.
Well, I wear my Speedo.
Okay, I need video.
I mean, footage. Yeah. Stat.
No, it's legit.
But do you wear your spicy Speedos or do you wear like a regular? I'm doing some, you know, water aerobics with ladies this morning.
Typically, I go optical illusion, which is the one with the waves.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah, or the elephant
hallucinogen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both are solid choices for an early AM session with your grandma.
Well,
oh yeah.
you could have done better and wore it here, but we're not going to hold it against you. We're just going to continue to plow through just like we did with that challenge, which was difficult.
Yes. Speaking of plowing through.
Fire segue.
Amanda plowed right through on your team and Tori's gone.
Yeah.
Tori's gone.
What was going through your head when Amanda stole Tori's spot?
I mean, here's the thing. I knew this was coming from a mile away. And I said this was going to happen. And I'm actually was an advocate for Tori dressing up in all Ruby and being a big Ruby supporter. I was like, yeah. Dave, she's trying to get under your skin. Do the opposite because it'll make her even more mad.
Yeah.
And this actually worked. And then she had a big failed attempt to like turn Emmy against Tori.
Yeah.
But she wasn't on the team for more than 5 minutes before she realized that the plan that she wanted wasn't being executed and she wasn't getting the reaction that she wanted out of Tori. So she needed to, you know, pivot and try something else. That only lasted for about 24 hours because the next mission, of course, is an all brawl.
Right.
And we all know pre-workout Dave.
Pre-workout Dave.
Yeah. She's a different kind of, she doesn't know what she really wants to do. So running into things would have been perfect because I don't know if you know. Dave is also, Tori is also Dave. Dave is Tori. So is Devin. I'll explain it later.
Yeah.
But Tori, when she takes pre-workout and works out with you, will do squats and then curls and then push-ups and burpees. And she doesn't know where she's going. Yeah. So the best thing to do with pre-workout, Dave, is throw her in a place where all she has to do is run back and forth.
Yep. Yeah.
Give her a no trench. Brain. Give her give a her, trench.
Give her a trench.
You know?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Traditionally, this game is like a four-way game, like about this type of thing. So it was interesting having a three-way trench.
Yeah, there was just, I mean, there's so much that this was the perfect mission, obviously. I TJ nailed it. But Amanda, this was set in motion so long ago, and she did, I do have to credit her evil genius tendencies because this was like a slow play. That she kept trying to make a fast play and it wasn't biting, but she never lost focus of the slow play, which was turn Tori against Emerald or turn Emerald against Tori.
She didn't like me from the jump.
From the beginning, and she certainly didn't like that we were winning. So that whole conversation between her and Josh, that's horseshit. That had Josh was, I don't know how he didn't see that coming. That Amanda had made her mind up about that move a month ago. She didn't even know what the rules were about switching, and she already knew if she had the opportunity, she's taking Tori out. I mean, it was a no-brainer. So that whole thing was not the way that it played out. And then that's when Amanda didn't get the reaction that she wanted the first time. She doubled down, which she does, and then, you know, we're where we are in this episode. But unfortunately, we ended up taking the fucking bait.
Yeah, and you know what? It sucks. Watching it all back, it's like, fuck. If I could have just taken myself out of my emotions and done what you were
Which
saying.
Which emotions?
The anger. No, the sadness. I'll keep the sadness there because Dave needed
it's
to
true,
see that.
Though.
He needed to
it's
see
true.
That.
Those were genuine tears.
Those were genuine
Tori
tears.
Tori had a lot of genuine tears this season. This is definitely your season of genuine tears.
Yeah, I've had a few ugly cry faces. One, I had a fork in my hand when you left, Anissa, and the other one was sick. I woke Kyle up out of his sleep. Yeah. Like a psycho.
He loves his naps too, so.
Yeah. I mean, I overreacted in that situation too. Like, I totally understand where Tori's coming from, and I totally understand that she's a fierce competitor, and that's one of the things that I love the most about her. It was,
I love you too.
Yeah, it was, for me, it was just like, it even, and I briefly was talking about this before, even the team up, like to get Ruby to win, that was a bad strategy because we were going to be obviously more affected by Nelson, Kyle, Big T, Tori taking from our team because we felt like, A, we'd been playing with Tori and we'd been protecting Big T, Nelson, and Kyle the whole game. So like that was going to be a little bit more personal. The move would have been to team up with Emerald.
Yeah.
And to have Sapphire taking from Emerald, do a kind of a double team up. And then Ruby would have been guaranteed to win. But whoever the odd team out was, it, that was getting Dynamite taken from him was never going to win. And that happened to be Ruby in this circumstance. And then it would, then it doubled down because obviously Kyle makes a big fumble and then everything, you know,
Did you feel going into that specific mission that something was going to change, that there was a pact that was made, or did it take a few?
You can see it on my face. He called it out. God.
I said it.
Tori, we got to work on your poker. Put that in the notes. Poker face.
Dude, she was stomping around being like, someone's going to die today. I was like, Dave, stop. I was like, we're on your team.
Is that where all that went? Oh, it's probably steroids.
I take, don't bring the steroids.
And I've been eating steroids. I'm like, Tori doesn't even know how to take steroids properly to even take them. Oh, well,
yeah, eat them. Yeah. It's, you either eat them or boof them. It's one of the two. I know it.
However you can get it in.
I know it's got to be like that, right?
Dance it in. Oh, my yeah. God. I can't. So you were stomping around like a monster.
As soon as she put those shoulder pads on, it was.
Yeah. I went full Dave. I went full college Dave. I'm like college football Dave in that moment. I'm like, this is my, I'm like, I missed my high school days. I didn't get drafted to the league, but
no,
I did.
That's Betsy.
Oh, shit.
I was even telling though, for the record, I was telling our girls, listen, do your thing out there. Let's not get hurt. And that was the other part of it that doesn't come across in this episode, that I was also just like, being this close to the final, and I understand not being able to turn it off and wanting to protect your guys and blah, blah, blah. But we know the game changes. We know it's already switched formats once. Yeah. I'm at least expecting another form. I'm not expecting to run this final with Emerald. I mean, if that happens, I'd be stoked about it, but I'm not expecting that. I'm expecting TJ to throw a wrench in the plan. So I was even telling our girls, like, don't hurt yourself because then we have no chance. Like that's the worst way to go, Anissa, as you know, is a preventable injury. And in my mind, in an all brawl on a guy's day, it just didn't compute to me why it was like
Tori was stomping her feet right to eat heads.
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
I didn't get why what you were saying until right now. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. You do play smarter at that point. I would have been I would have hit one person at least, but I would have been also, dodging the rest.
Right, and you also didn't have – I was, like, in love with Emerald. Like, to me, the way I describe it, bad, but it's like I watched my boyfriend go off with another girl that I absolutely hate. I felt like everybody on that team, they welcomed her with open arms. I was like – you know, obviously Josh kind of sold me to her. Didn't mean to, but like he did. So I'm like, oh, my heart is just like, I'm a little bit spiteful.
I'm going to stomp. Spiteful. In that case, I'm going to stomp and I'm going to yell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it comes out. Honestly, watching it back though and knowing that Devin and I have had our conversations after, it's like it only makes me more thankful for our friendship, Devin, really, because I watch it back and I feel so bad about it because I love you so much as a friend. And I'm like, fuck, I really did let my ego get to the best of me. Like,
yeah,
and
we both did.
I feel like this is a therapy session. I'm really excited to be here.
I feel badly for the way I reacted to it because the only thing I want is consistency through the fan base and the participants of this show. Okay. So if the thing that we're going to do is say everybody gets to do whatever they want to do, if it benefits their game, keep it consistent.
Yeah.
That's all I want. Don't keep that energy when the person that you like is doing it and not when someone else is doing it, right?
I get
it. So like in the same way that we can't, if we're not going to be mad at Tori, which I'm not, then I also can't be mad at Amanda, which now I'm not. And then I also can't be mad at Kyle for calling out Josh, which I'm not, right? So it's like, I just want everyone to be consistent. And if that's the narrative that we're going with, which I don't really like that narrative. I don't like the do what's best for your game, because I think there's a lot of things that have to happen for people to be in a position to even have a game. Because if you get targeted right off the bat, I mean, this is very much a team game. Everyone can say it's individual. Yeah. It isn't.
You need other
no
people.
No one is anything. You have to have other people. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really like when everything, it's like the memory of a goldfish situation. And it's like, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
That doesn't do it for me personally. But if that's how we're playing it, let's just be consistent.
Yeah. I mean, you say consistent. There's somebody here that did something, consistently does something that he said he wasn't going to do.
Yeah.
So I want to ask about that. You know, I saw it when I was there. Clearly, you two had a different reaction. I like to be silent, even if I am cursing somebody out in my head, because I like to observe everything that's going on. We saw
so much smarter than me.
We saw Kyle. Yeah, but you know how I am. Kyle made this quote unquote mistake earlier in the game. We saw. So does this make this quote unquote mistake more or less believable?
Right.
Oh yeah. The consistency of mistakes. Maybe he, maybe that's what he's going for. He's trying to leave a trail of mistake breadcrumbs that he can reference later and be like, no, I
mistake
do
crumbs.
That.
Good old mistake crumbs.
Right? Because who else could possibly make this many intentional mistakes?
I don't know what happened.
He's like, they
there.
Have to be mistakes. That must be it.
Yeah.
Good point, Anissa. I think you cracked the code.
Listen, this is what I'm here for. Code cracking, code breaking, if you will, and just finding a couple errors in consistency.
Yeah, that, I don't know what he was thinking, man. I mean, I think I do know.
Do you think in the moment he just forgets? Or does he, do you think he has a weird, everything is planned?
He saw that we were going to go for Ruby. Our initial plan was, we've got more people, let's alternate, right? So we were going to take the whoever had the biggest person and not go for them at that point. So Sapphire sends in CT first, so we go to Ruby. Then
makes sense.
Then they were going to send in Kyle, so we would have gone Logan's way. We were going to go path of least resistance. Then when we saw the team up, that was our plan. Then when we saw the team up, it was, oh, fuck that, hammer Ruby. Because we felt more hurt by the players on their team.
Right.
So I think Kyle saw that we were going for Ruby and saw the writing on the wall, which is there's no way we can win if they're taking from us every time because we're just trading. So Sapphire is going to get ahead. So let me go and even the playing field.
Like,
I mean, that's,
make a blatant mistake.
There's
leave
only
out my
three,
Kyle breadcrumbs.
Yeah, there's only three stations. One of them is yours.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
So is he still your number one guy after all of that?
Oh, he's my number one guy.
I love that.
I love Kyle. He's the man.
You two together. I saw it on Double Agents. I mean, that's when I first saw you two together. I thought it was great. Kyle's one of my favorite guys.
Yeah. Kyle is
a blast.
Absolutely incredible and a gem to be within the house.
Yeah.
Like he helps to like elevate the mood because, you know, it does get really intense in there and you need people who are going to like be like, whatever, man. I mean, I had never seen Kyle go into an elimination so calm before. He was kind of like, whatever. You know, he was like, he had.
It's
at
the second time
this
season, though, because the first time when he had to do it, he still looked calm. I mean, I think this season was different for him after he knew that, like, there were a lot of people that came into this game not trusting him. We all just played together.
Yeah.
You know, even though we had our secret little sister alliance.
I know, yep.
Joke's not on you, bitches.
Devin, who do you think is more sneaky or sneakier, Kyle or Amanda?
Sneakier is an interesting word. I mean, who has worse intentions? Amanda. She wants to
watch not worse.
Who's more manipulative?
Manipulative. That's a good
one. Oh,
word.
Well, no, I already know the answer to that, too.
Amanda, yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's Kyle, no doubt. Because Amanda isn't overtly sneaky or manipulative unless you kind of allow her to be. Kyle somehow has a reputation for doing this and still is put in a position to be able to do it.
Right.
Which means he's definitely better at manipulating, because normally if someone were to do half the things that Kyle would do, it would be, okay, well, we're going to vote you in every single time. But that doesn't happen with Kyle. And I believe it's because, you know, he's very likable and he's really good at what he does, but he also has in the past put himself in a position to be able to benefit people's games. And Amanda doesn't really have that weight behind her game right now. Like this game, they were partners together. They didn't win anything. And that's another thing. She's like in the thing. She's in the vote. I don't want to skip ahead. She's like, you haven't done anything for me or Kyle. Really? Have you watched the season? Am I fucking delusional?
No.
What is going on here? Every single day, this is what people don't recognize either, is every single day, and not to pat myself on the back here, I don't think I'm the king of the challenge. I don't think I'm anything, really. I think that I went around putting out fucking fires left and right to keep that Vet Alliance together, and I was one of the only people that was doing it because everybody wanted to start targeting each other, and I was, for better or worse, the voice of reason.
Yeah.
It's too soon. Why are we going to do that? We have numbers. So.
But in turn, that protects you too. I mean, well, clearly, Devin, I get what you're doing. You know, you got to be 10 steps ahead, but then be putting out little fires everywhere.
But the truth is that does take a lot of energy to do that. And it takes a lot of political awareness. And Devin had power plenty of times in the game to be able to protect people. And like people do this thing where they're like, oh, you didn't like actually have my back and protect me. But if you have power in the game and you don't throw people in, then there's you probably have your touch in protecting people. So it doesn't have to be so overt. You don't have to be like, oh, I'm protecting you. But like it's kind of this unspoken thing. And so I'm with you on that. I think that you protected a lot of people this game.
And as did Josh, and, you know, as did you, and as did Casey, and as did a lot of Nani, as did, well, probably not Emmanuel as much, but he was a part of it. It was kind of frustrating, though, because it wasn't even the times that Emerald won that there were heavy conversations involving a lot of other people on who to throw in. It was like CT got two wins. Who was in that room, like, talking to him about the best strategy and which route to go and how to convince people to nominate themselves. So like a lot of the behind the scenes work that other people don't see makes it look like maybe I'm just sitting there being like, I won four missions on a team. I'm the man. No, not at all what I'm proud of in this game. The one thing that I'm the most proud of in this game is our collective ability to put most of the bullshit to the side for three quarters of the game. And we were eventually going to get to the point where we had to turn on each other, and we are there, and it is aggressively entertaining.
It is making a good show.
But we knew it. We said it week one. Like, this is going to get crazy at some point.
Yeah.
You know, you guys did what you could do until, you know, people run out. And sometimes the only options are your friends. And Devin, I want to know, did you ever think for a second that Kyle would have pulled you into elimination with him?
Yeah, that's why Corey, I keep calling her Corey. That's fucking call her Dave. That's why Tori had the big dramatic cry, because in that same conversation, she's looking at me like, they're going to send in Kyle. You're totally fine. And I'm looking at her like, no, I'm not. I wouldn't have been, like, even before. And now I've said this 1,000 fucking times, you throw the weight of an infant on somebody's mind, and there's no telling what they'll do. So did I believe that I was like 90% good? Yes. But I also, there's that little bit. And then there's also, we hadn't seen any real big twists in elimination yet. Right. So I'm thinking there's a potential. This could be like three go down, two come back type of situation.
Yeah.
Right.
There's that is always at play. So
yeah, one of those stupid breaches.
All their fucking breaches.
Get out of here.
Yeah, all sorts of different hacks, and I don't know what's going on. But, yeah, I was assuming that was an option.
Yeah. So, Devin, you were voted 2021 Challenge Most Undervalued Player of the Game by me and Anissa right now. So
I thought you were going to say hottest guy.
No, he's on top five. Yeah, it was in the newsletter. But I'm curious, do you think, number one, how do you think you would have done in that elimination? And do you think you would have beat Kyle or Josh, or could have beat them?
Okay, so I'll take this one step further. With the exception of Nelly T, because this was way more about coordination than anything else. I mean, the whole endurance thing, I personally don't think was much of a factor because you had time to like walk across the bridge and put your thing down. So it wasn't like a nonstop from what I was looking at. Mm-hmm. I think Emmanuel, myself, CT, or Logan beats any one of those three guys in this particular elimination. Because even as we're watching it, they're jumping for the bell as its trajectory is swinging away from them.
Which makes no right. fucking sense.
We're talking about like basic strategy here.
Basic.
Yeah.
It's and like with Patina with a rocket. You're not stop going back with it. Like you want to use the momentum to swing forward.
Right. And no I know offense those to harnesses. Her, but
yeah. It's
those harnesses can be weird and I wasn't up there, so I never like to say that I would have done this or I would have done that, but I think I would have liked my odds on this one just because of how heavily it was based on intricacies and like in subtleties. Mm-hmm. And those are usually the games that I do pretty well in, is like finding a way not to cheat, but to like do it effectively, which is an object in motion stays in motion.
Yeah.
Keep the bell moving and jump when it's on it at the halfway point on its way back to you.
Timing and no hesitation. Yes. When you start to hesitate and you're watching it, all it does is lose momentum, make it harder for you to hit it. And then what happens? You know, that's the difference between a win and a loss right there, is waiting 10 more seconds or 20 more seconds for that bell to come back to you when it's getting further and further away the longer you stand there. But you don't have Max and Max, you know, the van guys up there.
No.
If anyone needs to know, that's I'm Max and Devin's Max as well.
Right. Yeah.
Just to let you guys
know. I'm Max and Dave. Anissa's Max. Tori's Dave.
Yeah. Just to clear that
up. Just to clear that up, which probably confused people even more.
That's really that's why people such as myself need to pair up with people like you guys. Because not only do you come as you, but you come with the laws of physics. I just heard you quote Sir Isaac Newton. And it just seems like you bring a plethora of knowledge with you going into these things.
You hear what you just said, Tori? That was brilliant. Look at you. You used a new vocabulary word today that you've never used in a sentence before, and you've had it in your back pocket. Yeah. You are doing big things.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. You are what you eat. Fig Newtons. Well, that made sense. That was in there somewhere. There's a connection between those lines.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know something now. You are, your team now is down a player. And you still don't have Tori.
Who, my team? Oh, yeah.
Do you want to stay on Emerald? Do you want to work out a thing with Tori so she can get... What is the goal now that you are down a player?
Well, at this point, I don't really care because like a normal person, I don't give a shit when it's girls' day. Sorry.
You know what? Uncool.
Your boy is chilling right now. But obviously I'm trying to win every mission and I'm trying to win every mission and not get hurt. Right. Those two things are equally as important to me because if I get hurt, I can't, it's just like getting eliminated. So I'm always thinking, all right, let me, you know, try to.
Yeah. When you're hurt, you don't have a chance though. At least if you
don't even have a chance.
Yeah. That's completely different. So I understand where you're coming
from. But obviously we want to get Tori back on our team. But the only way to do that would be to vote her into elimination or to have someone call her out.
Yeah.
Where do you think Emerald stands against the new Sapphire and Ruby teams? Who's a bigger threat?
Between Sapphire and Ruby, or who's the biggest threat in the game? I think Emerald's still the biggest threat because a lot of these have been numbers games. Mm-hmm. I think Ruby is still at a severe disadvantage because there is just, you know.
Nobody wants to be there. Bad energy.
It's just a tough cell. You know?
It really is. It's like a prison cell.
At some point, you have to kind of look and just be like, all right, well, there is probably some cosmic event that is holding Ruby back. And I just don't think that's going to be – Ruby's in retrograde, you know? Something's going on, and I don't know, but honestly, I could go to Ruby and I'd be like, well, it was fun. It's CT, man. CT and Emmy, you look at a guy who's what, 4 or 5-time champ, and then a rookie who's arguably strongest female rookie we've seen in I don't know, half a decade.
Probably since Cam.
Yeah, probably since Cam. And
I mean, Natalie was strong.
Natalie didn't make it as far as Emmy.
Oh,
talking
yeah.
about like okay. full. Natalie's incredible, but just
right. Sorry,
stats.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. I'll shut up.
I think I like Emerald's. I like Emerald's chances. And then I'd have to say, you know, Sapphire is right on our tail.
Yeah. Yeah.
So moving forward, when all is said and done, and this challenge is over, because everyone's made nice so far, we're all friends. We had a Vet Alliance this season. Do you think there's going to be a Vet Alliance next season, or do you think that Ooh. The rookies are going to catch on and form their own thing? Do you think the vets are like, F this, maybe we need to do something different?
I would be very surprised if the Teej put a structure in place to let us run this back.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it'd be boring to run it back to back, to be honest, even though I'm a vet. I mean, not saying I'll be on the next show, but you never know where I'll land.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it would definitely be boring. But here's the other thing, like, and this goes back to consistency, right? It's really hard for me to, like, read the tweets and look at some of these podcasts or listen to some of these podcasts, and everyone's like, oh, it's boring. But do what's best for your game. Okay, well, what if what's doing best for your game is being boring?
Yeah.
Like that, I personally don't feel like anyone on this call is boring, but
no.
I would say yeah. that even if someone is being kind of boring and flying below the radar, if that's what's best for their game, then isn't that what we're all in favor of? Like, yeah, I don't know. That's why I don't like that. That's why I don't like that narrative, though, because it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
It's like, I understand everyone wants to do what's best for their game, but what if what's best for your game sucks?
Yeah, and sometimes you need to shut up. I've learned. I think you've learned, Dev, Tori. Like, sometimes it's not always great to puff your chest out and be really funny in the asshole all the time. Or like me, I used to be really, well, not really confrontational, but I talk shit and I was like, y'all can't beat me. Like, and I've humbled myself and the game has humbled me, but sometimes you learn that part of your game is to sometimes shut up. And CT has been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
You know,
CT plays a low game. He plays low.
But like, he gets those pieces out where he's like, fuck you, dude. You know what I'm saying? I'm just gonna fucking eat your fucking head off. Like, there are moments where he jumps out again, but for the most part, he's like in hibernation station.
Yeah.
He always grabs a couple dailies too and uses his power really, really effectively.
He's smart.
He's really smart. But honestly, I wish like I had made fun of more people. I think that's funny. I wish I had done that.
They should have played City Boy.
Yeah, they probably should have played City Boy. But
I mean, we put on a full. You directed a full-on play this season, Devin.
Yeah, people don't know
People do not know how.
People have no idea.
You wrote a script. It was picked up by the Croatian production company. It was put on our deck. Mm-hmm. And you killed
it.
On our stage, and everyone was amazing. The storyline was believable and applicable to real life. I mean, we had something good going. I hope that City Boy 2 will come out and that there will be jam.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually, I'm working on a new play, which is the story of Emmanuel's life, and it's called Street Dancer.
Oh,
and this one's really, really good.
He should be eating blueberries in it because he loves them.
Yeah, can I be the town whore?
Well, I mean,
So we're going to have Emmanuel as street dancer and Tori as town whore.
Town whore.
Okay. Right. Yeah. You want to know what? My people will call your people, but I think
you just want to be the stage hand.
I'll bring the steroids. Tell them I come with them. Don't worry.
I'm thinking about taking some myself.
Listen, what's next? I'm going to come with hair on my chest.
Oh, God.
Just start blowing this shit up.
Yo, just being like, what girl wants to fuck with me? Eating steroids. Leave me alone.
I will say, though, it was like this looks like it was easier than it was because of the inner turmoil that was going on, at least for me, like this whole Veteran Alliance thing. It was so hard for me not to like tell people what I actually was thinking about what they were doing.
Yeah.
It was so hard for me to be nice
But not everybody really wanted parts of that Vet Alliance. I mean, I watched it in Elimination when I was like, she just mouthed your name, Tori. She just literally mouthed your name and then told Huey to pick me. That's not part of, like, if you backdoor sabotage us, that's the same thing as going against us in front of our eyes. You know what I mean? Like, telling your partner to pick us to potentially sabotage our game is the same thing as basically calling us out.
Oh, here's my other favorite part of the show. It is just a bunch of people all pointing their finger at someone that's doing the exact same thing. And then they get real mad at it. And then they go on other podcasts and they're like, oh yeah, well I was doing that, but like they shouldn't have done that to me. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Right. Like Corey literally had a chicken or the egg moment where he was like, well, yeah, I could see the writing on the walls. They were all coming after me. So I had to start wrangling the rookies. Well, are you wrangling the rookies because we're all coming after you? Or are we all coming after you because you're wrangling the rookies?
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Somebody fill me in, because at that point in the game, no one had ever said your name.
Right.
And he went on this whole tour of poor Corey. And it was
poor
like
poor Corey tour.
He didn't even recognize that he was admitting to all the things that we were suspecting of him.
Yeah. It's so much easier to point the finger. You know that. We all live in glass houses.
Like, I will say this. Was I a little bit too sensitive this season? Yes. Am I? Was I kind of douchey at times? Absolutely. Is it hard sleeping in a bunk bed when CT's protein farting in your head? Yes. There's things in that house that get to you.
Yeah.
And it makes you into like a different person. And so, did I lose myself a little bit in the game? Yes, but up until this point, it's fucking worked. So if we don't want to pass for our games, then eat my shit.
Yeah, you have nothing to apologize for. I watched this season of
shit. I thought it was going to be eat my shorts. Be consistently corny, Devin, if you're going to.
I watched this season of you, and I'm like, I love that you have this moment where you're like feeling sensitive about things, because you're human. You might sometimes be the one that's poking and prodding and not feeling and like being funny and being logical. But the truth is, you want to win just as bad as anybody else does.
Hell yeah.
So I've put it's like
a big chunk of my life into this, as most other people that are on the show have.
We all want to win. Like,
he definitely has had his emotional moments this season, though, with Kyle. Yeah. He was really hurt by that first lie.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I haven't
seen lie one. Lie one really.
Really affected by lie one, but by lie two, it almost like softened the blow for him a little bit, because he had already been lied to once.
Yeah, right. It's not only me. I don't know. I also have seen in previous seasons that when you have a nonchalant attitude, like, "Oh, I don't really care," everyone's like, "Oh, great, he doesn't really care. Fuck him." And so even if you don't really care, like even if you're not all the way in the game, and everyone has their days like that, you cannot let that show.
Yeah. No.
Because that'll be the first, like everybody is looking for a reason to target somebody. So it benefits you in a lot of different ways to kind of be an emotional player. I mean, we've seen it with Josh. Josh, maybe not so much this season, although he had his moments, but I think a big reason why Josh has the respect in the game that he does is because part of it is because people are afraid of the blow up.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I don't want to really cross him because there's going to be a proportional reaction to the thing that I do. And so sometimes you have to react bigger than the thing that happened to you to kind of scare people away from doing anything to you.
Yeah, that's true. Because that's what it works for Josh. I mean, he also has other like political strengths.
Oh, that's not his only thing. Right. I'm just saying that's a tool in his tool belt. And I don't even think it's intentional.
Yeah.
I think that he is an overreactor by nature. And I love Josh. Josh is a good friend of mine, but he would consider himself to be an overreactor, I'm sure, as well.
Yeah, 100%.
And
that's not an insult. That's truth. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
It's part of it. Josh wouldn't be Josh without a little bit of overreacting.
And that works. Yeah, it works for him.
Makes for a very entertaining show. Dave, I have one final question for you. We ask this question to everybody. So this season is called Spies, Lies, and Allies. And we know this for sure because Nelson has said it at least 47 times in interviews. So we know for sure.
And screamed it, and it came right out of his mouth.
Yeah. So we know that it's definitely called Spies, Lies, and Allies. Who is the biggest spy, liar, and ally from this particular episode?
From this app.
Mm-hmm.
CT's the spy.
Ooh, speak.
Yep, that's a no doubter. I mean, he he's having his little walk with you.
Yeah, right. Right? He's walking.
Let's do a team up. Yeah. Then he's having little combos in our room. Let's do a team up. He was doing double team up.
Oh, you know?
A little double teamer.
Yeah. He was straight Eiffel Tower.
Whoa. He was like a one man Eiffel Tower.
Whoa.
Yeah. So
put him in the play.
He's the biggest spy. He was on Real World Paris, I believe.
Oh, oh yes, he was.
Put that's him in the play. Perfect. The human Eiffel Tower.
Has to be there with the town whore.
The biggest liar in this episode. Oh man, I would probably go with Josh just because he did make it seem like Kyle had guaranteed him.
Yeah.
And it was very clear that he had just said, you got a 30% chance. And it was probably closer to 70-30 the other way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what he would have picked Emmanuel in except for a hall brawl.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe a pole wrestle.
Right.
An ally, I'm going yours truly.
Aww.
I'm an ally. Aww. Always have been, always will be. And I meant what I said in that goddamn chamber. I've been trying to help everybody.
Aww. Did you just high shit. Five us? Or high? Did you just?
I just lifted my arms.
Oh, because I thought.
But if I just can really, really quickly, and I don't want to take over here, but I'd just like to say that Nelson said, I'm lying out of my mouth.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. So that happened.
That's my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah. Fessy where
else?
Gave,
where else gave, lied out of?
Fessy gave Josh a pair of socks with his photo.
Yeah.
In a hall brawl.
Yeah.
that Josh then wore in an elimination.
Yeah.
And lost.
Yeah.
So Josh lost an elimination to Kyle in a pair of socks that had Fessy's face on them. That happened this episode, which is, I feel like, should be talked about.
Oh.
And then and then my final note is that haircut on Josh just... I'm surprised Tori didn't try to bang him because that is full-on bowl cut.
You motherfucker.
Well, I mean, if the shoe fits.
You motherfucker.
Listen, it's all about consistency, Tori.
You motherfucker.
Consistent haircuts.
You motherfucker. Damn it, Dave. Oh,
you know what? Those are all my notes. I had a great time.
Devin, you are the best. We were longing to have you back on here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anytime, girls.
Yeah, I'm gonna submit an official request with MTV and try to get a triple podcast because I just think the three of us deserve to talk every week
about what happened.
Yeah.
So that we can see more socks with Fessy's face on them. more stuff coming out of Melly's mouth.
Yeah. Dave, where can we follow you? How can they support you? Where can they subscribe to your OnlyFans?
Oh, hell yeah. you can follow me on Instagram at MTVDevin, okay? Mm-hmm. There's only one.
Mm-hmm.
It's spelt my way. you can also purchase hilarious shirts that I make at wheredevinwalker.com. Okay?
I have one. Spritzer sister. I got it.
Yeah, that's
I would like
heater.
To get one as well.
I am an introvert, also a heater. And I'm going to throw this out there. Probably going to start selling socks with Fessy's face on. So you guys.
Is that going to say I'm an introvert or no?
You guys can guess.
Or just put winner at the bottom?
No, it's going to be him in a hall brawl versus Kyle because that is the best thing I've ever seen. That's the best thing I've ever seen. And I want a pair. And, you know, I feel like everyone should have a pair. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm also on Twitter. And my Twitter is absolute fire, slowly encroaching upon 100,000 followers.
Amazing.
So, I love that.
You know, we got that going. But yeah, thanks, girls. You guys do a great job. Really happy
Thank
to be
you.
Here. And
I hope
you know,
to see you soon because my life isn't the same without you.
I fully second that. And I think, honestly, this actually is the last thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is now mandatory that we take another vacation.
Uh-huh.
Because the vacation has broken the internet. It's the only thing anyone yeah. can talk about.
It's
and
like,
we have to do it again. Yeah. And it needs to be bigger.
And I need to be there because it was my vacation. And I am livid that I wasn't there. I'm livid that Tori's getting the credit. It was my vacation and you all went there. And you got to see Devin and Espedo every day. And all of my friends became great friends.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that it happened. I graduate December 16th. And I feel like we need to go somewhere in December.
I just want to throw it out there, guys. I already put in a request for dates. We'll talk after this podcast. We're all getting t-shirts that say Vacation Alliance. Throwing it in there.
Yep. And if we're going to make this real, if you're not there, you're not in the alliance. Yep.
If you're not invited, you can only talk about our vacations.
Again.
And we know y'all love to do that. Now, screw off.
Oh, Dave, I love you. Thank you so
Devin,
much.
Devin, you're the best.
Yeah.
Love you, girls.
It is always amazing hearing from Devin. I feel like he is our third host. He always brings the spice and the laugh. So thank you, Devin. I'm sure we'll have him back at some point.
He's the best.
Now to get to a little Challenge Confidential / like just stuff people want to know. I know by being at the end, like things get a little, the group gets smaller, you know, the house gets lonelier. You guys don't go to the club this week. What's going on?
You know what? It's interesting you say that because we definitely did go to the club. We are not. Yeah, we did go to the club. We had a whole night out. But you know what happens? If there's enough drama and tension in the house, out of the club scenes, then they don't even need those club scenes because maybe it was a boring night at the club. But the truth is, the system on the challenge, the schedule, and Anissa, you know this, is always the same. We always go to the challenge, we come home, we
go to the club.
We go to the club that night, and if there's drama at the club, it might roll over into deliberation the next day, and then elimination is that night. And then we have a day off for interviews. So it's always 3 days. It's a three-day cycle. And
oh,
you have
just
one day.
So much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
No, you don't want to go to the club after that. You're already on edge like, shit.
Yeah, and we were hurting, especially after that day. I mean, you see one shot where I have a pad on my arm. I mean, I really busted up my shoulder in that challenge because obviously Casey's a monster. And I went in so many times because there's only two girls on my team. So I kept going in and in and in, you know, and I was hitting every single time I was going in.
Yeah.
So I got pretty banged
up. You were body checking. We need you to body check on both sides.
Maybe. Yeah, I needed to learn that. The only time I've ever actually done a hall brawl before was when I won against Jenny. After that was the only time I've ever actually done that.
Yeah, but you held the line on Dirty 30.
Yeah, I held the line.
I was body checking. No, but you were strong. You held every bit. That was amazing. That's what
we did great.
That's when I knew. I was like, I love her. We called you the bouncer.
I love you too. Well, you know what? This was a great episode, even though it was hard to watch. But the truth is, Anissa, you know how it goes. It gets later in the game. Tensions get higher. Things get more emotional. We get closer to the end. So it's how it is. Where can we follow you and send you listener questions for your experience, your wisdom, and perhaps take you out for a coffee date if you're willing?
And ready. It's Anissa MTV. That's AnneesaMTV on Instagram. I don't do Twitter much because it's a bunch of old shit. Yeah. Tori, where can they send you love, listener questions, and support you?
You guys already know the deal. You can follow me at Tori_deal. Don't follow me on Twitter because I don't exist there. Poof. I'm gone, bitches. You got what you wanted. Ha! Make sure you guys watch the challenge, though, because this season is getting really intense. It's only going to get more intense. It's a great, great season. And listen every Thursday as we go behind the scenes of the challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies on this podcast.
And then join us Fridays as we pull back the curtain on season 2 of the Challenge All-Stars.
Yes, I'm loving this season. Double the challenge every week, guys.
Only on MTV's official Challenge podcast.